waiting, and here's why. God has you waiting, and here's why. One of the toughest things, in life is to wait on God to do what he said he would do. One of the toughest things you're going to ever have to do is wait on God to do what he said he would do. Now, what I'm going to share with you, this may not change your life, but I believe it will change the way you deal with life after hearing it. This may not change your life, but it'll change how you deal with life, how you look at life, if you are willing to apply it. Now, I want to start by giving you a couple of reasons why waiting can be hard. Let me give you a couple of reasons why waiting can be hard. Number one, waiting can be hard because at the core, sometimes we feel we know better than God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel we know better than God. It's almost like you're saying, well, God, if you would just do this, this would happen and that would happen. But see, that's the way you see it. He's God. He sees everything. He's your father. He knows everything. From our perspective, we think we know the situation and how it should be handled. You ever said that to God? God, if you just do this and this will be like that. God, if you just move this, if you just do it this way, because that's what we want. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll let what we want override what he says. So one of the reasons we are not waiting is hard for us because at the core, deep down inside, if we were honest, sometimes we think we know better than God. Then watch this, mother. Number two, another reason why waiting is hard for us because we're convinced that if it doesn't happen now, it won't ever happen. I believe I'm talking to somebody. We get convinced, Reverend, that if God don't do it now, oh, it's going to be too late. I'm going to be too old, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen now, we think it's not going to happen. Here's the problem. Desiree, our challenge is we confuse not now with not ever. Just because God said, I ain't going to do it now, don't mean I'm not going to ever do it. God always has a purpose for everything he does. God is not just sitting in heaven wondering, oh, let me see how I'm going to handle this. He knows exactly what to do. And let me tell you something I really don't like about God. I love him, but I don't like this. Watch this. Watch this, mother. God, the Father, is never in a hurry. Isn't that amazing? He's never in a hurry. He ain't rushing to do nothing. Why would you rush if you already know how the end result going to be? Why would you rush if you already know what you're going to do? Why we rush? Because we don't know, right? We don't know how much time we got. We don't know if it's going to happen. And so we get into that mindset, oh, I really need this to happen. Oh, if this would happen. And God is saying, like, not now. Sometimes he ain't moving because you ain't ready. Oh, yes, I'm ready. I know I'm ready. Well, when you're ready, it'll show in your attitude and your actions. Amen. Come on, you could often tell when people are ready without asking them. You can see it. If you're in a position, if I say, I'm about to throw you this ball, you get in a position. And then how many times? Watch this. You say, I'm about to throw you this ball. I say, well, throw it. Come on, let's be honest. Throw it if you're going to throw it. Well, you don't even look ready. I'm ready, but see, it shows in your attitude and your actions. So, again, I want you to think about these things. The reason why waiting is hard, because at the core, we think we know better than God. Now, you won't say it, but when you try to handle it without waiting on him, you think you know better than him. But then secondly, you're convinced that if it won't happen now, it ain't going to ever happen. Watch this. You've ever had somebody say, you know how old you are? Like you don't know. You know how long that's going to take? What you going to do? All that. And that's why you got to, again, like we said Sunday, pay attention to the people around you. Don't confuse not now with not ever. Third reason why waiting is so hard, we believe, oh, God, Lord, have mercy. Boy, I'm speaking to somebody. They're going to get it. We believe the reason why Blanche waiting is so hard, because we believe the longer we wait, that lessens the chance of us getting it. How many times have you said, I've been waiting so long, it ain't going to never happen. See, because again, that's the way we think. We think if I keep waiting and waiting, that means it ain't going to happen. No, nothing could be further from the truth. So tonight I want to share with you from the gospel how God will make you wait, and it has nothing to do with what you think. Now, if you've been waiting for something and you got it, praise God. But now if there's some things you're still waiting on, I'm going to tell you tonight, if it's God's will. Now, let me clarify that, because there may be some things you want that God don't want for you. Okay, so so that leads to this question. How do I know if what I want is what God wants for me? Well, it's going to make you a better person, make you a stronger Christian, and a better partner. It's God's will, because God's will is always about making you better, right? All right, so now here, let's get into it. John chapter 11. You got those three things? Those three reasons? I want to make sure you get this Bible study. We can talk. You got those three things? What makes it hard? Thank you, Deacon Thorpe, for being open and honest. Figured you didn't have it anyway. We convinced. You know, I got to mess with it. The second one is, we convinced if it doesn't happen now, it won't ever happen. Anybody ever been there? You ain't going to do it. This has been taking too long. God, I'm about to do this. You even stop asking about it. I ain't going to ask God no more. He ain't going to do it. If he was going to do it, he'd been doing it. You know how long it's been? But I'm going to show you proof. Watch this, y'all. Like, God ain't in no rush. All right. Let's go to John chapter 11. Should be familiar to Bible readers. It's Jesus and his relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, his friends. Watch this, Sam. These are people that he loved. So it has nothing to do with him not loving them. And let me say this to you parenthetically. Just because God doesn't do it when you want him to do it, it has nothing to do with him loving you. Well, if he loved me, he does. Well, why are you taking so long? I'm going to tell you. Remember, you can't rush him. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you can't rush him, but you better trust him. I said something there. You can't rush him. Just trust him. Because trust shows I got confidence that you're going to do something. All right? So, Jesus, and this is an amazing thing, Reverend. I don't know if you looked at it later. He knows what he's going to do, and yet he waits to do it. He knows exactly what he's going to do, but yet he waits to do it. Now, so here's my disclaimer before we get into it. I'm not saying after you hear this, you won't get irritated. But I'm saying after you hear this will help you deal with the irritation when it comes. You hear this and say, okay, that was nice, Bishop, but what about, this is for all of us. And so this is going to help us. John chapter 11, let's look at, start at verse 1. John chapter 11, the gospel is recorded by John. And I told you before, you know who John is. It's that loving disciple, that loving one. He loves the Lord. He's the one that's not afraid to show it, right? Here we go. John chapter 11. I want to start at verse 1. New King James Version. Now, a certain man was sick. His name, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. You got it? Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus. Joy says in verse 2 that it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil. Listen, everything in the Bible is on purpose. He's letting us know, John is writing us, letting us know who these people are and how important they are to Jesus. This is the Mary. It's Mary's house who anointed Jesus' feet with her hair, poured that expensive oil, and they got all upset. All right, now I'm going to keep reading because I want you to understand relationship. Whose brother Lazarus is now sick. Verse 3. Therefore, the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Boy, that's something there, huh? Lord, this ain't just no anybody now. This is somebody you love. When Jesus heard that, so we clear he heard it, this is what he said. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. He hears it, and that's what he says. Now, let me tell y'all something I'm learning. You know why a lot of times we don't get a lot out the Bible? Because we used to hear in the stories, these episodes, and we're like, okay. But you've got to understand, these people don't know what we know. All they know is, listen, my brother's sick. Jesus loves us. He been here. He know how we get down. Surely if we call him, he going to come. He's got the power. That's why we calling him. So let's give him credit for one thing. They went straight to Jesus. Part of our problem, we go to everybody else first. So watch what happens now. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved, see that word love again. We know he loved Lazarus. David brought that up. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6. Now watch the transition, Sam. He loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. So, now I'm expecting, Vanessa, the next words to be, so he came. Think about it. He loves them. It's evident. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now, don't that seem cool? Wait a minute. I thought you loved me. Yeah, Bob Rico John said, yeah, he loved them. They loved him. But yet he stayed 2 more days in a place where he was. Now, you know what's amazing about God? Let me tell you why he ain't in a rush, Blanche. Because he could have came the first time they called him. Don't that irritate you about people? Joy, you call somebody and they say, hey, I'm on my way. And you waiting and you're like, well, what? You ever had to call people back and say, I thought you was coming. I am. I'm on my way. What time? I'll be in a little bit. And you upset. Because they say they're coming and they still haven't come. You wondering if they're going to come at all. But now watch this. Jesus does not let them know he's coming. That's for us, the readers. All they know is they're waiting to hear from him. So watch what happens now. Let's keep reading. After 2 more days, he gets the word. He stays there. Verse 7 says, then after this, he said to the disciples. It's almost like Jesus says this. Okay, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, and Deacon, I got to get you all to see it because we get so familiar, we miss it. We miss it. These disciples, Reverend, they're wondering, Jesus, Lazarus, you know, the one we had them fish sandwiches by. Jesus. Because they're wondering, remember, they don't know what we know. Watch this now. So here we go. The disciples, verse 8, said to him, Rabbi, lately, the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? They're complex because they're trying to figure Jesus out. They've been following him, and they ought to know this by now, like we ought to know about some people. That's just the way they get down. That's just, you know, you ought to know how Jesus flowed. Now you've been with him. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, all right, let's go. Look at it. Verse 11, these things he said, and after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I'll go that I may wake him up. Now, again, we got to take a trip back in time, and I tell you all that every time you read the Bible so you don't try to put it in this Western civilization. He said, all right, well, let's go. Say he's sleeping, I'm going to go wake him up. So, okay, let me see who's paying attention. So if Jesus says, you the disciples, and Jesus says, he's asleep. I'm going to wake him up. What you think? Don't read into it. What are you thinking? All right, come on. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. This Bible study. He's asleep. If he says he's asleep, I'm going to go wake him up. You ain't thinking that. You thinking sleep. But now if you thinking sleep, then why Jesus got to go wake him up? Oh, boy. Yeah, that's pretty deep. If Jesus got to go all the way there and wake him up, okay, but watch now. Let's follow the story. So now, first thing I want you to see, God, your father, my father, Jesus, our elder brother, is never in a rush to do anything. That's how it's always worked. And you got to wrap your mind around it so you mature as a believer. The father, cousin, is never in a rush to do nothing. Now, I don't know if that's good news for you or bad news. God is never in a rush to do nothing. So, now, and when I'm talking about waiting, because that's the title for those of you who just come, the title of this is Why God Has You Waiting. Here's why. God has you waiting. Now, and I'm not talking about, because people say they that wait on the Lord shall renew this. That's true. But we're not talking about from the patient standpoint. Because we know patience is waiting with the right attitude. That's how to wait. But I want to talk about why you wait, right? Because that's a problem for all of us right there, waiting with the right attitude. That means you ain't nervous, you ain't upset. If somebody tell you you're going to do something, you take them at their word, you cool. God, the Father, and it's important that we know this because many of us, many of you, and those prayers that I have been read, have read already, many of you are praying that God would do some stuff right now. You believe in God to do some stuff right now. And I just come by to tell you, he ain't in no rush. But you don't know how urgent it is, but he does. Let me prove it to you. Let's go to, let me just throw this in because I tried to think for you all, Sister Ridley, when I tried to think for you all. Sometimes when God has you waiting, the devil may have you thinking God has you waiting because he's trying to punish you. Because if God really loved me, wouldn't he come? He must be punishing me. That's the way, come on, the enemy play with your mind. He has you waiting and it don't have nothing to do with punishment. All right? God is trying to build, God is not trying to build you up so that you can take shot at those people who are wondering why you're waiting. You follow what I'm saying? God is not building you up so you can say, no, he ain't doing that. He's not doing that. God's not doing that. Watch this. Here's number one, 723. You ready? God has you waiting, and it's not because he changed his mind. Number one, the Father has you waiting in whatever your situation is. You've been praying about it. May have been 2 years. You may have started praying about it the first of this year. I don't care how long you've been dealing with it. God is telling me to tell you the reason why you're waiting, number one, is so that he can get the glory out of this situation. You waiting because I got to get the glory. Glory means to make him look good. Glory means his weight, how rich he is, how powerful he is. He has you waiting because he wants to get the glory. You thinking right there, right now, I know. You thinking, well, I'm going to give him the glory. He ain't got to wait. I'm going to give him the glory. No. He knows you. And he knows that when we say, I'm going to give him the glory, that we often say, oh, God, I just give you glory. I'm waiting on you like you're going to change his mind. No, he knows what it's going to take. The glory of God is when the spotlight shines on him. It's happening. So watch this. He's going to get the glory out of it. He's waiting to come to so his glory can be seen because God is going to show you how big he is. Wait, you got to really feel this. God's going to show you how big he is. And so he's got to wait because if he come too soon, you won't see him as big. All right. How many of you know people that you call them, they come and you always depend upon them and you talk about them real lighthearted like this? Oh, I ain't worried about it. I know Sheila coming. She always comes. That's how she do. She coming. My girl coming. I ain't worried about it. But when you got to wait, doesn't that build and you get nervous and you get excited? God's going to come on time, but it's his time. God knows if he comes too soon, you're going to look at him too small. When it seems, here's a good one. When it seems like it's all over, that's when he's coming. Right. When you get to the end of the rope, that's when he's coming. When it gets the darkest, that's when he's coming. See, because right now, you know, you're not where he wants you to be yet. And I know that's hard to wrap your mind around, but look at the disciples. We talked about that episode before when they were on the sea. He doesn't come until the third or fourth watch. That's the darkest time. Now, he could have been came because he know where they are. He knows where you are and what you're dealing with. God said, it ain't time to come yet. It ain't dark enough yet. Well, how dark has got to be? As dark as he needs it to get. Because when things are dark, watch this, even a little light shines bright. Amen. So could it be it's not dark enough for you? Okay, let me prove it to you. Go to Exodus chapter 14. And I don't like it, but I understand it, and you appreciate it when it happens. Exodus chapter 14. God is going to get some glory out of this situation, so he ain't in a rush. Kim, he got to get the glory. Well, how he's going to do that? When it gets the darkest, when it seems the most difficult, when it seems impossible, boom, here he come. Dark, we say it all the time. He may not come when you want him. See, but we say that, but we don't believe that. Because you want him to come now, but you forget you said he's always on time. So if he ain't coming now, it ain't the time. I think I will teach. If it ain't coming now, it ain't the time. But you don't know. He knows. Look at it. All right, you got Exodus 14. All right, watch this. Watch how watch how the Father works. I got my big old Bible, y'all. You gotta bear with me. I got my big one here today. All right, here we go. So here's what happens. Boy, talk about taking his time. Children of Israel have been crying out for years. They were in bondage in Egypt, crying out for years. Lord, deliver us. Lord, deliver us. The Lord finally sends Moses. Moses comes, gets the people out after the plagues and all this stuff. Come on, y'all know the Ten Commandments. Indulge me. So all of that happens. He gets them out. They're en route. They're en route to the promised land. And as they're en route, watch how God does it. He puts them between two mountains, a sea in front of them, and an army behind them. Now, you're talking about a dark place. Your enemy is behind you. Hills on both sides. And the only thing in front of you is the sea. Now, how are you going to get through this? And it's at that point, Sam, God says, ta-da, here I come. Ta-da, here's your boy right here. It had to get to that point, because if he got them out and they'd have got straight there, they would have took it for granted. Come on, how many times you've heard it? And it's true. Familiarity breeds. Yeah, you get contempt if you get too familiar with people. Watch what he does, though. So he's got Moses leading all these people, and they're already fussed. Talk about you brought us here to die. Watch what Moses says. Verse number 13, Exodus chapter 14, New King James Version. I'm trying to show you how God's going to get the glory. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. That's for somebody right there. Do not be afraid. What you want me to do? Stand still. What? There's an army behind me. They're talking about cutting my lights off. I lost my job. He gonna divorce me. Whatever it is, he said, just don't be afraid. Now, that works if the person telling you don't be afraid can handle what you're dealing with. That's why it's got to be God. Let somebody else tell you don't be afraid. You gonna say this. Well, you don't know what it's like. But the Father knows. He says, don't be afraid. Stand still. Now, hell, isn't that hard to do when you're scared to stand still? Now, God, what you doing here? See, we get so familiar, we forget. Stand still, I'm afraid. There's an army behind me. You brought us out of all of that to leave us here, and that's where we let the devil get the most of our minds. Now they're thinking, watch this. And some of you have been thinking like this. You just don't verbalize. God, you brought me out of that to leave me right here. God never brings you out of something to leave you stuck in something else. So whatever you in, you ain't stuck. You ain't stuck. The only reason you get stuck if you stop. The only reason you're going to get stuck is if you stop. He wants them to keep going forward. He tells them, stand still. Watch this now. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you when? Moses don't say nothing like that until they get to a place where they can't do nothing about it. And I'm talking to somebody today, and the Lord told me to tell you, you're not at that point yet. But when it gets to the point where you can't do nothing, that's when I show up. Because I need you to learn something about me and this you never knew about me before. And you're not going to learn something new about him till you're somewhere you never been and something you never been before. And he says, stand still. The Lord will fight for you. Watch what he says now. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Stand still. Don't you say nothing. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Embrace yourself with the peace that God has got you. Hold on to that. He is coming through. Watch this now. And then watch what he says now. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Now, he's the leader, and he doesn't know what to do. The Lord saying, why are you crying to me? Watch this. Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel will go on through dry ground, through the midst of the sea. And, don't miss it, and I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow you. I'm going to make them so upset that they're going to forget the fact that I opened up the sea. They're not even amazed by that. They're going to follow you. So I will again, I will gain what? Honor. Uh-oh, I got to look good even in front of your enemies. Ooh, God. I got to get the glory out of this. That's why I haven't come. Because when I get the glory out of this, even your enemies going to have to say, boy, ain't nobody but God. Somebody had to do that. Watch it now. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariot and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know. Who are the Egyptians? Those other people. Watch this. I'm going to get the glory out of it. And when I show up, everybody's going to know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. In other words, people back at home going to hear about what I did. He's taking his time. He's waiting. And he got you waiting because he wants to get the glory. He wants to look good, and he can look good if every time you call, he gets you out. Because here's the thing. God gets you out every time. If you're not careful, you'll take credit for that. Oh, God, you know, that's what I do. I get in, I get out. God, give me another job, give me another. I get another call, I get calls. Like, it ain't nothing. That's... And all the while, God is like, really? It's like that? Okay. Watch him now, watch him. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I know you don't like it, but God has you waiting because he wants to get the glory. I don't know how old I was. I was working at a hotel. I guess I must have been 20, maybe. Working at a hotel as a bellman in New Orleans on Canal Street. The hotel's called the Clarion Hotel. And I'm telling on myself now. It was, those of you who may remember, there was a rap group out called Run DMC. And... Run DMC, this was their Tougher Than Leather tour. It was Run DMC, LL Cool J, I Need Love. Uh-huh. It was Houdini, You Got a Big Mouth, Big, okay, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Just the whole crew, right? And I was able, fortunate enough, because they stayed at the hotel, to get tickets. So I get tickets, me and my brother go. And we get there, and everybody got on Adidas. You remember that? Everybody got on Kangols. And, you know, that whole era. It'll never be that good again. But anyway, that whole era. And we sitting there, and my brother's getting impatient because, you know, you got the Beastie Boys going up. You got LL going up. He licking lips forever in a day. You know, you got Houdini, and they got everybody bouncing. Funky beat, they got all that going on. My brother's getting impatient. And then all of a sudden, cousin, boom, everything goes dark. And then, y'all making me relive this day. Told you I wanted to be a rapper. Then out the back where the lights off, you hear something go, whose house? And they say, Ron's house. And everybody, spotlight comes on him, and everybody go crazy. What's the point? God has you waiting. Because there's other performances that's got to get out the way. I worked hard on that. And that's all I'm going to get. I worked hard on. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. That's how you do your boy. But you got to get all that other preliminary stuff out the way. And I don't know what your preliminary stuff is. Could be your attitude. Could be the people you're around. Could be the thoughts you entertain. Could be how you act. I got to get all that out the way. So when I show up, I'm getting everybody's attention. God's going to get the glory one way or another. The question is, how long are you going to wait to give it to him? Just get out the way. Huh? Remember the songwriter says, soon as I stop wondering how the story going to end, what they had to do? I let go. See, that's the problem. Some of us still holding on. When you let go, then God's going to have his way. You're holding on to what you got or what you think. Let all that go. And I know it ain't easy. Trust me. But you ain't going to never see his glory till you do it. Right. And watch this. He's not doing it for you to rub it in other people's face. He's doing it so you can be a billboard of his grace. He's not doing it so you can say, uh-huh, see, God came through. God. No. Mm-mm. He's doing it so you can be a billboard so people can see. God's good to you. God has been good to you. So he's going to do it, and he has you waiting so he can get the glory. You need to say that over and over in your mind because somebody's there right now. You wonder, when is he going to do it? He said, I'm waiting on you so I can get the glory. Problem hasn't gotten bad enough. It hasn't gotten bad enough. Well, how bad has it got to get? And I told you before, if you want to win, stop asking W-H-E-N. All right? Here's the second. God has you waiting because he wants to get the glory. Secondly, God has you waiting because he wants to strengthen your faith. He's got to build your faith up. You think your faith strong, it ain't strong till it's been tested. Oh, I love the Lord. Easy to say when everything going good. Ooh, I praise him. It's easy to say, but let money get funny and change get strange and friends get few and health start to act up. And you're going to be wondering, where's God? Look at verse 14. Let's go back to John 11. Everybody good? Well, I tried to wake y'all up with my little rap. I see, all right, but okay. Guess I can't sell my CDs now in the back. Going to have a couple of little rap CDs, you know, something I had a little drop a little something for y'all, but that's all right. I'll keep them. All right. John 11, verse 14. Let me go back to verse 12, John chapter 11. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well, right? Okay, Lord. Again, you got to remember who these boys are. They're fishermen. They're going by what they see. Okay, Lord, if he sleep, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, all right, you know what? He dead. You ever got that way with somebody? You kept trying to tell them something a nice way, you had to just cut straight to the chase. Come on. You know people heard, I don't want you, okay? I hate your cooking, all right? I wasn't going to say it, but he says it plainly. Verse 15, watch this, Reverend. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there. Wait. Hold tight. Jesus is saying to the disciples, he dead. I stayed away on purpose, and I'm glad. Watch this. Not for Mary and Martha. Not for other people, but for those who follow me. Why are you glad for their benefit? Because they don't really believe. Okay, you're going to make me work. You know, there's a difference between believing and really believing. Okay, all right. You ever had somebody describe somebody to you and they say, no, she ain't ugly. She ugly. Come on, y'all. Don't make, you know what I mean? So they believe, but they didn't believe, right? And so he says, I did it on purpose because I need to strengthen your faith. And I'm talking to somebody, a couple of y'all in here. And God said, I'm trying to strengthen your faith. See, it ain't strong enough. And I'm starting the first of the year with this because I need you to be strong because there's some other things you're going to encounter. And if I strengthen you in this, it'll help you deal with the other stuff that's coming that I see that you don't see. I got to strengthen your faith. Listen, he says it right here. I'm glad for your sake, verse 15, that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. In other words, yeah, you know, you come on Sunday, you give your little money, you come on Wednesday, you pray, you don't turn in your little pressure, all that's fine, but you don't believe. Because the true essence of your believing is how you behave when you go through stuff. I can't tell y'all how many times I've had people stop coming to church when they're going through. It's almost to the point, mother, I can pick people, certain people. Okay, yeah, I must be going through something. I ain't seen him in a while. He must be going through something. Yeah, something he ain't seen. Which is amazing to me. When you're going through, why stay away from the place that's going to help you? Because you don't know, but the Father knows. And I know you all could attest to this. There's never a time you've come here and you didn't get something that helped you. Amen. And you ought to always go where you're going to get help. You ought to always go, and this is the first of the year, and I hate to say it, and I hope it doesn't happen, but it usually happens. It's going to be just like the gym. January, everybody going to come. Everybody going to go. February is going to go down a little bit. By mid-March, you back to the normal crew. Don't let that be you with church. Please don't let that be you with church. Strong in January. You don't come no Wednesdays in February. You come maybe once in March. Pray for me, Bishop. I'm going through. How you going to go through without him? He's trying to strengthen your faith. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. The Father is trying to strengthen your faith. Isn't it true the longer you wait, it kind of lessens your belief that it's going to happen? And he said, I need you strong even when I don't do what you want me to do. I told you this before, and you mature people have not only got to say it, you got to believe it. And I'm learning it, and I'm trying to teach it to my grandchildren, but it's like a brick hitting the cement. You got to be okay when things don't go your way. That's what mature people do. Don't children cry when they can't have their way? But as a believer, a mature believer, you ought to be like, okay, Lord, Musa, okay, it ain't going to go my way, okay. So let me accept that fact and make some adjustments. Because you ain't going to be God trying to force it. You're going to mess it up. Well, God, you take it too long. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you, in your mind, you have done stuff because you got tired of waiting and you regret what you did because you just didn't want to wait? Okay, let me make it easier for you, because that's probably a little too hard for you to think. Maybe it brings too many bad memories. You ever saw something that you really wanted and somebody told you, just wait, it's going to go on sale, and you had to have it? Oh, no, I got to get it today. I got to get it today. That's my color. I'm going to the concert. I got to have it. I can see it on me. How much is it? I got to have it. Then a week or two later, it's on sale, and you bringing it back. You bring it back, stain under the armpits again. you put all that tape on the red bottom so the red. Oh Lord, but you know how we do. But if you'd have only waited, cause watch this. If you wait, I promise you to just test it. Please do this. Test it. You want something? Wait 30 days and see how you feel. No, I mean really. Now I'm saying wait 30 days. Don't go every day for 30 days. Keep looking. You know, we'll do that. Day one, it ain't on sale. Day two, still ain't on sale. Lord, I'm waiting. Still ain't on sale. No, just wait. You wait and watch this. See what changes about it. And the only way something to change about it if you stop focusing on it. God is trying to strengthen your faith. You know, he's trying to build your own testimony. Now, let me tell you something that happened to me. Let me give you a personal testimony. You know, it must have been early 30s. And I went to Baptist church, love it, good teaching church, you know, but traditional, you know, you got the gloves. You know what I'm talking about, though. You got the gloves and we're on the battlefield. For the Lord, come on, you know all that. You can't touch, you got the big old table. We do this in remembrance, and you got the white cloth and all them Lord's Supper trays, and, you know, you couldn't wear pants, and you couldn't have hats on, and everybody had the robes, and they was swinging the robes, and you had them old mean ushers by the door. You don't need no peppermint. Go sit down. Come on, you know how it go. And so, I grew up in that environment, you know, and I thank God because I learned some lessons. But that whole traditional thing had me thinking that God wasn't going to do it unless I did something. Like I had to earn it. Come on, many of you grew up like that. God ain't going to bless you. You keep lying. But I still lying. He's blessing me. Now, there's consequences for lying. You get in trouble. People no longer trust you, but Because God does not listen, and you got to get this in your spirit. God does not bless you based upon your performance. Now, you should operate wisely, but God, he said, okay, now, if you do right, I'm going to take care of you. Now, if you ain't going to do right, come on, think about it. Don't he take care of you even when you do wrong? Nah, there's consequences. He don't never remove the consequences, but it don't stop him from loving you. And he's trying to build your own testimony. So I grew up in that church. And Sister Ridley, I used to say this all the time, and I'm telling you all now, don't ever say this. I said, Lord, everybody at the church got a testimony but me. Because, you know, they used to have testimony service. Remember that, mother? Everybody get up in there. First, give an honor to God, the gray haired church, to the pastor, honor members, to all the beautiful deacons sitting here in the motherboard. I'm like, would you just get to it? The motherboard, every auxiliary they're naming, the BTU class. And so I'm standing there, right? And I'm like, man, my grandmother, you know, she would always say, get up and see your testimony. Are you going to force me to say a testimony? I don't have one. I don't. And so weeks would go by, and I said, oh, Lord, I need a testimony. I need a testimony. I need a testimony. I don't have a testimony. And my uncle said, man, you better stop saying that. I said, well, I want one. I want to stand in front of the church and give honor to God. And so one day I was going home, y'all, working two jobs. I got off the bus. I was going home. And as I'm walking, maybe about two blocks from my house, car pulls up. Guy rolls down the window and said, give me your money. I'm like this. I don't know what to do. The guy said, blah, 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 give me your money. And the driver said, man, he said, no, rob this. Give me your money. So I'm going in my pocket. He said, you take it too long. Click. And my heart hit the floor. I mean, hit the ground. He clicked it. So I would have been gone. Pulled off. And I hadn't gotten two blocks. And God said, there's your testimony. Don't look for none. Don't look for none. Because he's done enough in your life that you got a testimony. And Cousin Dee Dee, when I got up to tell it, I fumbled all over the place. Give an honor to God. I bless the Lord. My grandmother made me get up here. 30 years old. My grandmother made me get up here. Now, bless the deacons. I was like that little boy on YouTube. I hate this church. Y'all seen that little boy? Oh, that kills me. Y'all never seen that? Watch it on YouTube. There's a little, you never seen it, Joy? A little boy in church, and they get him up, and he get up to say his testimony. And they all say, they say, come on, baby. You got to watch it. It's going to crack. He get up there, and he said, come on, let him use you. He said, I hate this church. He dropped the mic, and it was all over. I'm sure it went viral. But my point is, nah, God will give you a testimony. Don't do it. And so by him strengthening you, he's saying, I'm building you up. So after you get through this, this will prepare you for what's coming next. And trust me, as long as you live, you're going to go through stuff. But if you're stronger, you can handle it. And you can't get stronger until you go through. So God, and you can pick what you're going to go through. Because God has something different for all of us. But when you go through, that's when God uses you to be a blessing to other people. Come on, because it's not as effective. If I tell you I was broke and I ain't never had no money, you always had money, say, oh, well, blessings on you. Bless your little heart. But when you've been broken and have no money, now you can talk. So he has you waiting because God wants to get the glory. Listen, it's about him. It ain't about you. And the more we realize that, the better. Well, I did this and it's about him because he wants to look good. Because if he's made to look good, then that's going to bless you. Right. He wants to get the glory. Number two, he's got you waiting because he's trying to strengthen you. But then number three, he has you waiting because he wants those who are around you that are unbelievers to become believers. Amen. He has you waiting because there's some people in your sphere of influence who don't know God, and they ain't going to know him like they need to know him until you've gone through something. Until you've gone through something, then people are going to be, if God, come on, how many times you've heard people say this? If God did it for, I know he can do it for, because they've seen your life. Let's look at it. Watch. I'm going to prove it to you in the text. Look at John 11, verse number 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And it's almost like Jesus getting on. Now listen to what he said. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you? Now, I mean, I don't want to use that tone, but you get my point. Listen to what he said. I'm reading it. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? Maybe you're not seeing his glory because you're not believing. And I'm talking about not with your lips, but with your life. See, the proof that you believe is how you behave. Okay. If I told you at 10 o'clock, I'm coming by your house, I got a check for you for $10,000. Those of you who go to bed at 10, you ain't going to bed that night. No, Lord. The Lord said a bishop going to be here. Bless the man of God. My bishop coming. Mama said, boy, go to bed. Go play somewhere. Go do something. I'm waiting on that. See, because your behavior. God knows you're believing by how you behave. Now, you could tell her, oh, I believe God, but how are you behaving? Are you pouting? Are you complaining? Are you telling everybody about your troubles? Or are you just saying, God, I'm going to trust you. And whatever you do, I'm cool with it. You really got to be cool with that, because he may do whatever. Watch what happens now. I'm trying to show you. Here we go. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Now, you notice he tells them to move the stone. He could have moved it. He could have said, stone moved. My point in saying that to you all, if you want God to bless you, you got to be willing to participate in the blessing. Amen. What are you willing to move out the way so God can do it? Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's other people. They have to move away the stone. Watch this. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Here it is, verse 42. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. There are people in your life who don't believe God's going to do what you said he's going to do. You ever told somebody something you believe God told you he was going to do? And they said, girl, God ain't about to do that. I don't even know why you bother God with that. Well, first of all, they're wrong in saying bothering God with that. You tell him everything, because you ain't never bothering him. You his child. And see, we got to remember, he's not like we are, not like parents with a child like we know. You know, we get tired of children, cousins, nieces, and nephews. God ain't never tired of you. You his child. He hear you every time you call, every time you cry. He's always waiting. And he's there to dry your tears and strengthen you. But you got to go to him and you listen. I'm telling y'all, take advantage of your relationship. Go to him and be open and honest. God's got you waiting because he wants to get the glory. God's got you waiting because he's trying to strengthen your faith. God's got you waiting because there's other people around you that don't believe that he wants to believe. He wants them to believe and know him like you do. And you'll never know him like you need to know him until you've been through stuff you've never been through. Any questions? No questions? Everybody good? Now, me telling you that, teaching you this tonight, don't mean you're going to be like, all right, I'm good. God's going to get the glory. I'm not going to worry about it. No. It's going to come to your mind and you're going to think about it. And I'm saying to you, pray what you're learning. Pray what you're learning. You know, take note of this. Take note of this, Nessa. You know, what connects your hearing to become doing? Hearing the word and doing it. You know what's going to make that happen? Two words. You practice it and you pray it. Amen. You won't connect your hearing and you doing. Practice it and pray it. So pray what you're learning. Lord, strengthen my faith. Strengthen my faith. That means he's got to throw some weight at you. And a lot of us don't. We don't ask because we don't know how God's going to do it. And we don't want him to do it a way that's going to challenge us. But how are you going to change if you ain't challenged? God is in the business of making you uncomfortable so he can transform you. I got to get you uncomfortable, because if you're comfortable, that's all you're going to want. You want everything to be a bit of ease. An amazing thing about it, all of us got the same 24 hours in a day. You ever thought about this? How is it that more people get more done in a day than I do? And you could say, you could put it on, you work hard, and you work. I got that. But I discovered the answer. Those people have prioritized what's important. They give their attention to what's important. If it ain't important, I can't do it. Which leads me to segue into this. Don't miss Sunday. Don't miss Sunday. I'm going to tell you Sunday how to organize by prioritizing with the right people in the right place. The kind of people you need to have in your life. If you don't have these kind of people, you're going to have some trouble. I promise you that. If you don't have these kind of people in your life, you're going to have some trouble this year. So Sunday is going to allow you to evaluate some people. Watch this, cousin. You're going to have to get you a sheet of paper after Sunday, draw a line down the middle, Deacon Thorpe, and say, now, are you an asset or a liability? And some of us are going to have to be honest. Our liability is a whole lot stronger than our assets. Stop apologizing for stuff you have to do. Stop giving attention to stuff that's not going to better you. That's a distraction, giving attention to stuff you don't need to give attention to. And I'm talking about family, everybody. I'm telling you, if you're going to have a better year this year than last year, and we say that every year, you better organize, you better put everything, everybody, in the right place in your life. Let the other folk do what they're going to do. And a good indication that you're doing that, Joyce, folk going to start getting mad. You don't have time no more. I really don't. You must think, I really do. You ain't no better than me. You said that. Who you think you are?